Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, February 25th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I'm good.
Awesome. I am glad you were good. And John Martellaro, how are you?
Johnny Spock, you mean?
Johnny Spock, how are you?
I am good. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you and your very logically pointed ears with us today.
Yeah, these headphones hardly fit.
I know. Well, there's a Kickstarter waiting to happen. Yeah. I thought that we should just dive right in to what has turned out to be a pretty interesting interview. What I'm talking about is the interview that Apple CEO Tim Cook did last night. So that would be Wednesday. With ABC News anchor David, how do you pronounce his last name?
Muir.
Yes. And David was interviewing Tim about the whole mess we're facing right now with the FBI wanting Apple to provide the tools so that it can do a brute force attack on the passcode on an iPhone that had been issued to Syed Farouk. And he was one of the two shooters in San Bernardino last year, where he and his wife killed 14 of their coworkers and injured 22 others. And Brian, I'd love to get your take on this first.
First and foremost, Mr. Tim Cook was angry. I don't think I've ever seen him as angry. He was certainly at least as angry as he was when he was addressing that right wing quote unquote think tank at the Apple shareholder meeting about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. where he was saying that Apple was basically going to do the right thing. And not count and not count every little thing towards the bottom line, like that particular think tank was asking him to do. He was angry at that shareholder meeting. He was angry during this meeting. I don't think a lot of people would necessarily understand that because Tim is such a quiet and reserved person, but it was pretty obvious to me. It was a very, very passionate, his responses were as passionate as he is about anything, probably more so than he is about anything that we've seen.
Well, this looks like an issue where the stakes are pretty high. So I can see why he would get kind of passionate.
You know, it's an important issue. The most important an interesting thing about that interview to me was when Tim Cook said, this is a difficult, I don't remember exact, I'm paraphrasing, but this is a very tense and difficult situation for us because we're fighting for the privacy and the safety of American citizens. And this is something the government should have been doing or should be doing. I thought that was a remarkable comment.
Yeah, he said that he said that they find themselves in an unusual and uncomfortable position because they're supporting our civil rights against the government that should be doing so.
Yeah.
And that was a very, 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 very pointed, not pointed, it's just the
poignant.
Certainly poignant. It was salient. It was
sad.
True.
Sad. True. Yes.
You know, there was a lot of stuff that the particular statement was.
Well, it goes to the issue of, as I was saying the other day, how absolute the government's right is in this case. The government appears to be asserting that it has an absolute right, and that has to be determined by interpretation of the Constitution, by people's awareness and education and understanding of their civil rights. And I feel that the government is being manipulated by the terrorist agenda on this. skilled terrorists know that when they do these things, the government reacts in a certain way. And it's sad to see the government sort of like on a railroad track, you know, dead centered on an agenda that doesn't reflect its nuanced decision to, you know, go headlong into this instead of saying, well, this, the government doesn't, hasn't in my mind expressed regret or a nuanced discussion about what's going on here and saying, well, there are these issues of privacy. There's never been anything other than, well, we have to do our jobs. We can't look these families in the face. You know, it seems like there's a single-minded dedication to a single agenda, as opposed to publicly weighing the consequences. And that's what Tim Cook is getting at.
Well, I'm guessing from the government standpoint, they're feeling like this is an argument that suits them best as a very binary thing and not a nuanced issue. This, if you present it as this is about protecting people from terrorism, and that's it, then it becomes a much easier argument from their perspective.
Yeah, you put blinders on and say, well, this is not going to set a precedent, and this is, we're only trying to do one thing, and this is only one iPhone, and this is by restricting themselves to focusing on this one law enforcement issue, they've seemingly absolved themselves from the responsibility to have their own version of the public discussion about protecting our privacy, which is what's frustrating for Tim Cook, I think, is that he has to be the one to have that declaration.
Yeah, and it is really interesting that we are in a place right now where it's a corporation that's standing up for privacy and not the government.
This is why I've been a big Apple fan all along. For years, I've sensed this dedication on the part of Apple to protecting our privacy and security. And that's why I use an iPhone.
Now, John, I got Brian's first impressions on the interview. I'm curious to get yours now.
Well, I thought that Mr. Muir was sort of being the devil's advocate, speaking on behalf of people who might have questions. This is, after all, this is ABC Nightly News, where millions of Americans are wondering why Apple seems to be resisting the cooperation of law enforcement on this issue. And so David Muir asked all the key critical questions. I think you don't get selected by Tim Cook without a track record. They've talked to each other before. Tim Cook obviously trusts Mr. Muir. And these questions appear to be antagonistic on the face of it. But I think what was happening was that by agreement, probably, Mr. Muir, in a engaging and non-combative way, asked all the key critical questions that are on people's minds and gave Tim Cook the opportunity to explain Apple's viewpoint. It's turning out to be quite a PR war, isn't it? I mean, Comey is on TV getting articles published. Tim Cook is on TV. Each side is working on a PR war. I saw an article the other day that said Apple's losing the PR war. I don't know that that's true. I think Apple's doing a really good job. Apple's published several open letters on its website. The Tim Cook letter to the employees was leaked by John Pazakowski this morning. Tim Cook has been on TV. I think he's been on TV once before on this. So Apple's doing a fairly good job, and Tim Cook's an effective spokesperson. He's studious. He's serious. He looks like somebody you can trust. So,
but I think that Apple needs to do a lot more. I'm glad to see that Tim did this interview. The interview itself, I thought, was fantastic. We've posted it in full on the website, by the way, which is, I believe it was what ABC put out was longer than what was actually aired. So it's the full interview. I strongly recommend that everybody watch it, and I strongly recommend that everybody share it with as many people as they can. This is such an important issue, but Apple needs to do even more. I'd like to see some ads. I'd like to see some kind of ad from Apple explaining the issues or directing people to the FAQ that the company posted. I want to see more information. I want to see more engagement. I want to see more people understanding. And we saw with the Reuters Ipsos poll that when you ask questions that are honest, more people are supporting Apple, and I think that will increase. But it's going to take a lot more work by Apple, and everybody else too. Google needs to be doing this, and Facebook needs to be doing this, and Intel needs to be doing this, and the EFF needs to be doing this, and I mean, like,
I just got a great idea, Brian. Just got a great idea.
Do tell.
I know we're in the height of the election season and the primaries and Super Tuesday coming up and all this stuff going on. But what about a town hall meeting on the Rachel Maddow show or something like that with Tim Cook and Mark Zuckerberg and the CEO of Alphabet and whoever else wants to discuss this and kind of have an hour-long discussion about it? Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, to a certain extent, doing a show like that, yeah, it would be cool, but I'm not sure that we want to do it on the Rachel Maddow show.
That's the first thing that came to mind.
I mean, as much as conservatives generally speaking theoretically believe in no government intrusion into our lives, so far this battle is shaping up to where folks who are more on the right are think that Apple should not be taking this course and should be doing what it can to crack this iPhone open, and folks who are more on the left are saying that Apple shouldn't. And I think that we need to reach the folks who don't see the light yet. And doing it with Rachel Maddow is going to be preaching to the choir to a certain extent.
Yeah, that's just the first thing that came to mind. There's probably better platforms for something like this. Maybe Face the Nation. That's a half hour show. I think it takes more time than a half an hour news program on a Sunday morning.
Yes, and a Sunday morning news program, I don't expect as many people to see that as, right, say, a primetime news program.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's a reason why it's called primetime.
Yeah, maybe an ABC News special report in some evening where there's not an election. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. I'm just kind of tossing an idea out there.
All right, I'm all up for ideas. Now, there was one thing that Tim Cook said in the interview, And I'm curious what you guys think about this. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, that having to create the software that the FBI is asking for in the court order would be like creating cancer. What do you guys think?
Yeah, strong words, accurate.
Yeah, that's a clever attempt to create a digestible soundbite, which is all important when you're doing a PR war. Yep.
Yep. And this was is definitely very much a PR war. Tim Cook talked about how this court order that the FBI obtained is unprecedented, and he's right. But what's equally unprecedented to me is the way this has become such a public thing. And so we have Tim Cook going on news interviews. We have open letters from him, and Apple doing things like that. Okay, that's the new Apple. That's Tim Cook's Apple. but it's more than we usually see. And then we have the other side of this, which is we have FBI Director James Comey doing the same thing. And I don't recall another case where the FBI was out making or publishing op-eds and making public statements like this.
I'm okay with that. As much as I want Apple trying to educate the public here, let's not forget that that Director Comey has a different opinion. Now, I disagree with that opinion, and I've had strong words. Isn't that right, John?
Yes.
For Mr. Comey's positions and some of the things that he said. But if he believes the stuff, it's just as much his job to educate the public for what he thinks is right as it is for Tim Cook and Apple.
You mm-hmm. point out something that's good. It's a very healthy, open public discussion we're having. This is a good thing.
Yeah. Now, when I said unprecedented, just to be clear, I wasn't saying this is a negative thing. It's just very surprising to me because this isn't the sort of thing we have seen from the FBI in the past. I'm just finding it very fascinating.
Well, I think the FBI recognizes that there are factions that, besides Apple, that are against them. There's General Hayden. There's the Electronic Frontier Foundation. You could make a long list of organizations that are coming at the FBI from different directions, in addition to Apple. Apple's not the only one who's fighting for this cause. And so I think that's why the FBI has been feeling like they need to get their case out in public and let the public and the courts make a decision.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense. Now, one thing that ties into this is news that came out overnight, and it's the news that Apple is already hard at work at finding ways to increase the security in iOS, meaning they're working on ways to make sure that software can't be written that bypasses the security features that are built into the devices. And so what that means is that they are working on a way to make sure that they can't even write software that would allow someone to launch a brute force attack on passcodes. And they are also working on ways to improve the security for iCloud, which means that ultimately Apple would craft iCloud into a service that even they can't get into. And that would effectively block not only Apple, but law enforcement and government entities from getting at the contents through the services and through the devices as well.
Will Android and Samsung follow suit on this?
Well, Samsung doesn't. I mean, they don't make the operating system, so they're irrelevant.
Well, they could, because they're a major Android supplier. They could be working with Google and saying, "Well, if Apple does this, we have to do this."
Yeah,
it'll cascade.
Yeah. So I know that I'm going down a rabbit hole, but I refuse to give Samsung any credibility for being relevant in this particular discussion.
What if Apple were to succeed in building a phone that was absolutely unbreakable and unhackable, and then started using that? Well, they've already done security as a competitive advantage. So Google would have to counter this, right? Which means there would be a cascade effect in the smartphone industry, and everybody would say, well, we don't want to be the ones whose phones are hackable.
I think this would be much, much harder for Google to do.
I know. That's why I bring it up.
And, well, especially because doing so, I think, would undermine one of, from Google's standpoint, the key features of Android, which is the collection of data.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the open source nature of it as opposed to the walled garden nature of iOS. Who would have thought that Apple would come down on the right side of that years ago when Apple made a decision to make this completely proprietary? You know, I'm contrasting this to the PC days when everybody went, you know, oh, open source is great, it's wonderful, you know, we don't want to have proprietary operating systems.
Well, who in Google's defense, this? They had they chosen to do so, they could have made their open-ish source operating system very secure. But they chose not to because they mine our data, and that's a commodity for them.
Yeah, there's going to be some serendipitous effects of this in the going forward in the future.
And let's not forget that at any given moment, the U.S. and other world governments could pass legislation that makes having a secure operating system illegal.
That's very true.
And when that wars.
Yeah, and when that happens, it's going to be, well, really scary and very interesting to see how companies respond. And I think in the end, it will just hurt the average user, because as we've said many times, the people that really, really want to keep their data hidden will still do so. They just won't use the tools that are being provided with the devices that they're buying.
It's true.
That's why there has to be open discussion about this. And I saw the other day that there is a bipartisan encryption bill would create a special congressional commission on encryption headed by Security Chairman Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas, and Senate Intelligence Committee member Mark Warner, Democrat, Virginia. So this is still to be worked out.
Oh, yes, very much so. And we're out of time, so we can't keep working it out today. John, thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome.
Brian, thank you for being here, too.
Yep.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.